All right, Max. We got Billy Gunn in the building.
Yeah.
A talented tattoo artist.
Yeah.
Living in Indiana now. Came out just for Max to give him a half sleeves. Almost. I'm exaggerating. Yeah,
about a quarter sleeve.
Everyone always asks me, where did you get those tattoos? Where did you get your tattoos? Who's your tattoo artist? He's right fucking here.
That's
where he is. Okay.
The one and only Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn. We're going to dive right into this interview right after the intro mix.
Paralyzed from the neck down, breathing through a machine, but that doesn't stop me from following my dreams and doing what I love to do. I don't got an excuse, and neither should you. Let's get in this.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. Introduce yourself to the people, Billy.
What's up, y'all? I'm Billy Gunns.
How long have you known Max?
I met Max in 2016.
I was in the hospital in 16.
And it was 17.
Nice.
Yeah. So it's been a while.
Did you give Max his first tattoo?
No. I gave him his first good tattoo.
Okay, all right. Do you concur with that statement, man?
No, 100%. I was like, I want Vegas and I want Marilyn Monroe. That's where we started. That's where everyone says is like, the first tattoo they notice is Marilyn Monroe. That they're like, holy shit, that Marilyn Monroe portrait is fire. And I'm like...
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. That makes me happy to hear, for real.
No, see, your portraits are impeccable. And they were telling me about the freaking anonymous guy I have on, the mask. Like, they're like, holy fuck, that thing is sick, too. Like, people don't realize, because I wear, like, long sleeves a lot, like, they don't realize I'm tatted the fuck up.
Quite a bit. Yes, yeah. He does.
Yo, so that Fallout tattoo, I don't know if the people can see it on your sleeve in this angle. Nah. We'll attach a picture in the video for the people to see. But there's an interesting story behind that tattoo.
Yeah, very interesting.
Tell the people the story.
It's one of those things that all money ain't good money.
what's the name of the Fallout guy? Is it Pip-Boy?
It's a Fallout like Pip-Boy guy.
Pip-Boy.
And it's for charisma. It was the one for charisma because I think I'm a very charismatic person. Yeah. So I'm like, okay, let's do it. And he's like, I gotta go. And I was like, come on, man. It's so easy. You've seen it. Like, it's tiny. Yep. And, like, you sit there for 30 minutes, slaving away, getting it done, and then
So you're telling me Billy had a gut feeling that he shouldn't do that tattoo that day. And you persuaded him.
Yes.
The quad father struck again. His negotiation skills are impeccable.
Man, unmatched, let me tell you.
So Billy folded and he did the tattoo. Yep. Am I correct?
Yeah, I sure did.
You know what's crazy about it, too? In the background, there's like a huge explosion.
Yeah.
Like a fucking, like.
So hold on. Like we didn't tell the people what happened after he finished the tattoo. Go ahead.
I blew up. No, I'm just kidding. No, so at the time, my wife was pregnant. We had a one-year-old, and Hayden, I think, was four or five.
Yeah.
Well, I've been at Max's house all day. We're rocking out. We're grinding. And it was time. My wife's hitting me up. She's like, look, I'm going nuts with these kids. You need to come home. And I told Max, I'm like, look, I'm not just coming up with an excuse, bro. I've been here all day.
Yeah.
I need to go home. He's like, look, I'm going to throw you this much. I ain't going to throw price out there. But, his hand moved a few times. he made it impressive. Let's put it that way. You know what I mean? And I'm like, shit, fuck it. I'm staying. And we do the tattoo and, part ways. I had literally just moved back to Illinois. This was July 1st that I moved back to Illinois. This is July 3rd to the date. Never forget it. I leave his house, and on my way home, as I'm turning left through an intersection, I had an arrow. Bam. This old bitch, sorry my language, she smoked me, broke the rear axle on my vehicle, totally dismantled my van. The only van we had. We had just moved here, struggling.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Damn, and then
here's, look, I had all the tattoo stuff in there. So from the impact, the tattoo inks just went everywhere. They did open, fortunately.
Okay.
But, I mean, they were all over the van. And I'm like, what the fuck? Are you serious? So I get out, and I just kind of look at the chick like, what the fuck? Police were there in a matter of
what time was this? Like 2 in the morning or so?
Yeah, it was something like that. It was late. I know it was like midnight, 1 o'clock, something like that. It was definitely late.
Yeah.
And I can't remember the chick's name, but she was an older chick. She was in her 50s, an Lexus. I'm in a fucking Kia minivan. You know what I mean? Convicted felon, piece of shit in the eyes of the law. You know, it doesn't matter if my life was changed to the black and white. I was a scumbag. You know what I mean?
Hey, so the cops showed up and already made up their mind, huh?
Well, as soon as he got out of the car, I can't remember the chick's name. We'll just say like Edith or something like that. Yeah. His first words was, you know, like, Edith, what happened? She replies with, you know, Dan, he just pulled him from the first fucking name basis. You know what I mean?
They all know each other.
Yeah. And so I get a ticket for failing to yield.
Wow.
And ended up having to pay thousands. I think it was close to like $8,000 to fix her fucking headlight.
Damn. Calling up Max like, I'm going to have to charge you extra.
Yeah. I was like, fuck you, Max. Nah, but it was, I mean, it was definitely, I'm going to tell you, like, with that whole situation, truth be told, you know, a lot of us get comfortable in life. And it's certain things like that that drop you down to help you realize that when you do get up to appreciate it, you know, that was our only vehicle. My wife was pregnant. We had a 1-year-old, 4-year-old, and I had just moved back. I wasn't even settled into a studio yet, you know, for a job. And now I have zero means of transportation. You know what I mean? That was rough, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Looking at your family, and I'm the sole provider. My wife's a stay-at-home mom.
Yeah.
So it's not like we got her paycheck to fall back on.
Yeah.
I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do?
Yeah. Sounds like a shitty situation, but fast forward now,
So fast forward, right? So you have a few kids now, right, of your own. You have a few kids of your own. You got Rooster, Harlow, and... Who's the other one?
I got Rooster, Harlow, Hayden. And then I have a 10-year-old daughter, and her name's Peyton. And then I have an 18-year-old stepson named Isaiah.
Oh, yeah. All right. So
there's five. We got five strong between me and my wife, you know? Five little human beings.
And you, and you started this in close to your 50s, like you were like 39, 40 when you started.
Yeah, I would say when I started tattooing, like when I took it was 2010, and I was like, what, 32, I think?
Yeah.
I just did a long prison, you know, stint, which we'll get into that later on. But tattooing, like I've always drawn. You know what I mean? But I never knew anything about the tattoo world. I mean, it'd be like a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You may always like listening to them. You may dig them, but know absolutely nothing about them. Not even know that you could actually do something with your life doing it.
Facts.
You know what I mean? Oh, to me, I looked at tattoo magazines. I was like, man, this shit's raw as fuck.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't even think that one day I could be the person in the tattoo magazine. Yeah.
Set the example.
You know what I mean? Like, you never know that, you know? And, yeah, tattooing changed my life, bro. I mean, that shit for real.
Oh, yeah.
You know? It's crazy, though. Like, he, like, so he gets out of prison in 2015, right? Mm-hmm. And then 2017, he goes through, like, this huge, crazy experience where he has... to pay back this Edith or whatever, you know, and then works hard, buys a house, like cash, you know, in Rockford.
You paid for a property in cash?
Yeah, we paid. Very nice.
Just works hard and says, you know what, fuck it, I'm going to start a family as well, you know, after doing like most of his life, after doing most of his life in prison, which was really inspiring to me, because I was like, holy fuck, this guy's like, I'm gonna take life by my freaking hands and strangle the fuck out of it.
Oh yeah, I love to hear shit like that, because you know, there's a lot of individuals that get a sentence like that, you know, and they feel like their life is over or they give up. You know, but I love hearing when people fucking get the fuck up and really chase a dream and make it happen, no matter what they went through.
Yeah.
Right, Max? We set the example on this podcast.
And, you know, share your story.
That's we have a close family friend who did a fair amount of time. And when he got out, you know, he was never in construction before, got into construction.
Yeah.
And now he's sitting at conference tables with governors and like calling shots on next projects and shit, you know. I'm not going to give the name. I don't want to give too much detail, but I definitely want to get this man on the podcast soon.
Yeah, definitely.
But how long have you been tattooing again?
I started, man, I'm going to be honest with you, we were kids. We had started with needle and thread, you know, doing a little ghetto stick and poke tattoos.
Did you practice at all while you were locked up?
Oh, that's how I learned.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, my first prison bit, shit, Max wasn't even alive. You know what I mean? I went to prison in
95.
Oh, man.
And
you went to prison and I was coming out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So
I was coming out the womb.
Yeah. I went to prison. And I'll never forget, I was just sitting, I was in a day room table, I'm just sitting there drawing a picture, and this motherfucker walk up to me, he's like, damn, bro, you draw, that shit's cold. You tattoo too, right? I'm like, yeah. You know, fake it or funk. Fake it till you make it, you know what I mean?
So, you know, hell yeah.
I was like, hell yeah, shit, I slay. Didn't know, I ain't never fucking touched a tattoo. I've sticked and poked a motherfucker. Yeah. You know?
That's so funny.
But so we just get to constructing a tattoo machine. You know what I mean? We're grabbing shit. We grab the Walkman, break it down. We get a little motor out of there, get a toothbrush.
Nice. I mean, just about to ask you how that system went.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, the process, man. It's kind of when you sit back now, it's pretty impressive from today's, you know, like in society.
Yeah.
In prison, it's a second nature. You know what I mean? People, it's nothing even about it is creative or crafty.
Yeah.
They don't give themselves enough credit.
Right.
You know what I mean? But a lot of things, when you look from the outside, looking into those places, there are people that, bro, I've seen people take cardboard and popsicle sticks and build vanities for above they sink that fully function, open drawers.
That's awesome, bro.
Taking lights, putting them on the top, putting a shade under it so when they're getting ready in the morning, brushing their teeth, they're not disturbing their bunkie when they're getting ready to go to work. You know? There was one dude in there that was taking popsicle sticks, wetting them and like bending them and making fucking motorcycles. Little
like
statues.
Model motorcycles?
Yes. Out of popsicle sticks and fucking toothpicks.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you see that much talent in them places, you know, it's a shame that a lot of them weren't able to do that in society.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But a lot of the problem is you don't even know how fucking talented you are until it comes to you.
Right, right, right.
You know what I mean? When you are sitting there with nothing but idle time, you have to do something to try and get creative.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those people inside those boxes have no source of income, no family.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're just living on state trays, you're in that motherfucker skinny, starving, mm-hmm. you know, life's rough. So you got to try to find out a hustle.
Mm-hmm.
Art has always been my hustle.
Very nice.
From drawing on envelopes for people to mail to their girls. You know how many girls got fucking pictures I drew in their house right now that think Johnny and Fred done drew that shit? No, that was me.
He's ghost painting, man.
Yeah, straight up. Hey, motherfuckers, man, for real. I've sat here and I've watched. I've heard them on the phone. They're like, yeah, you know, I only draw when I'm in jail. I don't do that shit on the street. It's like, motherfucker, I never drew a picture. But here it is. I just whipped out a portrait of this Marx family. He done shot it to her. You know, she said, like, my man drew this. Your man ain't draw a fucking thing.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell most of y'all that's true.
Wow. So I have to ask. So like, you know, social media has evolved and it's so easy to get a hold of someone. We could talk to someone in Japan right now if we wanted to call them. Do you mind? So you went in 95. Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's no cell phones. There's no
none of that.
Yeah.
If there was a cell phone, believe me, you couldn't afford it them damn minutes.
So, you told me this story that, like, you would just talk to, like, a cellie or prisoner, and you would be a friend, if so, yeah. And say, hey, you know anybody that would want to talk? I would like you to explain it more to me.
Yeah, most definitely. Well, see how it was back then. Like you were saying, Max, there was no cell phones. You know, people had cell phones, but cell phones was not something that was just plentiful and at a disposal. Mm-hmm. You had two options of communication. One was somebody accepting your collect call. The other one was correspondence, letters. Mm-hmm. You know, back then, mail was big, mm-hmm. you know, in the world. We didn't have the internet then.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if it wasn't there, I didn't know nothing about it. Let's just put it that way. You know what I mean? I don't know if it existed then, but that was not something that I knew anything of. So you would be talking with someone and buddy would be like, man, you go into a situation and you get cool with people. You know what I mean? You make friends, you hanging out, and you're like, damn, man, I ain't got nobody, man. You don't know no bitches I can ride or, you know, something, you know? And then so, you know, people give you an address, be like, man, you know, it's a shot in the wind, but this old girl, you know, blah, blah, blah. I got to give you a description.
Yeah, it's all word of mouth.
Yeah, and truth be told, it could have been a fugazi-ass, you know, address. The bitch might not even existed, you know, but he was just trying to do it to gain points and recognize, like, here, bro, I got you. But anyway, so you'd write a letter. Now, it's like in anything in society, you know, the way we dress, the things we buy, is for when people, when they glance at us, to get an attraction. I'm not saying sexually, just an attraction. They want to look further into what they're looking at. So I would start my letter, my envelope, I'd draw a picture on it. So right here, when the mail came, it wasn't, you know, oh, it's a letter from so-and-so from such-and-such correctional. Discard that bitch out the window.
Yeah.
When they get it, it's like, damn, that's a nice-ass drawing on there.
Oh, you nice. Know?
So now it done made it into the residence.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now what's next? They get the little letter opener, open it up, pop, pull the letter out. Not only is you got a nice drawing in there, or throughout the letter, kind of like a story, you throw in a little drawing.
He's macking out of prison, Max.
Right. And you had to perfect your penmanship.
Yeah.
Because that right there.
Your
penmanship.
Right, nowadays, man. We send emojis. He was over there. He was over there drawing
portraits.
I drew the
emoji. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he drew the emoji.
You know, and so now here it is. They got it in their hands and they're going to begin to read.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's on you. Like I was just telling them, it's the substance on what you put. You had to have a mouthpiece. Yeah. You had to captivate them and make them want to look further into who you were. And remind you, pictures ain't even that plentiful. We're in prison. So you're just describing yourself. Mm-hmm. It's like reading a book. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And they're sitting there, he's such and such, such and such. And in your mind, I know I've done it. I was reading a book. This motherfucker described Dwayne Johnson a rock to a T. So that's now the character that I'm seeing whooping all this ass in here.
Yeah.
You know? So your goal was to get her to write back. She writes back. Try to see if she'll slide you the number and accept a call. You get on the call. You got to learn how to talk, you know. The ultimate goal is to get her to come visit you. She visits you. You lock in. You going on what we used to call was going up top. It's like you were on top of the world. You're going to visit.
Nice.
So you sitting down eating pizza and shit with them, talking, and, you know, hopefully she may start sending you some money. I mean, it was all a manipulative thing.
Is it just like what you see on the movies, like with the glass dividing y'all? Or were you like
No, depending on the level of penitentiary you were at.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, where I was at, you just went right in there and sat down. And when we're talking about the 90s, are way different from in the thousands.
Were you allowed to smoke cigarettes back then?
Back when I first went, yeah.
Yeah?
That's why I can roll like a motherfucker, you know what I mean? I rolled cigarettes for years, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, you'd go sit down in there and you'd, you know, try to get her, kiss you, you know, hang out, talk.
Nice.
So,
That's crazy.
I could feel the satisfaction of getting a letter back.
And, yeah.
You know, oh, dude, you have you no... Know,
like, I could just imagine to be honest the with excitement.
You couldn't fathom that thought because there's motherfuckers standing. I remind you, you got a dorm of like, you know, say 100 or some people standing around. I remember times going up because the one place I was at had a guard shack, a little bubble that was glasses. So I'm standing there watching them sort the mail.
Yeah.
Like I couldn't wait to see if they're going to come to my room and count and pass me something. I'm trying to... I want to get, let me see. Oh, shit, I got one.
Hey, yo,
oh.
Billy's in the cell like, I drew 7 different women pictures, bro. Yeah. I better get one.
I got to at least get one, you know?
I've been drawing for 3 days straight. Yeah. I haven't slept.
My fucking fingers look like I got arthritis.
I'm trying to go up top.
Yeah.
Man, for real, man.
That's
and it's crazy awesome. To even sit here and to think about it, you know, because now talking about I'm reliving that moment. And I swear, man, I remember when you'd get a mail, man, you know, a letter or something, that was the money, you know, and even because they had so like little clones in there. So you dump a little on there so it smelled good. So then your girl, when she shoot like back, she's spraying her letter with her perfume.
Oh, shit.
Now, remember, you're in a state facility, so people aren't walking around smelling good. You know, this place stinks bad. Now you can make your area smell the best it could by trying to keep it clean, but if someone was to come in there with a Tide wash shirt, it would ring the hallways. That's how, you know, it would stand out. So when you pop that letter open, that was the most beautiful thing you've ever smelled. You know what I mean? You're like, and you love it.
Let your mind run and paint the picture of the person that's riding you.
Yeah.
Max likes to ask all of our guests, you know, like what's a big little thing in your life? What's something small that has a huge impact on you in your life? And I feel like everything you were talking about with the letters and the little spread, I feel like that's a little thing, Max.
Oh,
like that's
a huge 100%. Little thing,
especially in the situation where
it's a little thing. Because we have so much now, you know, like we have phones, we have this, and I have a similar situation about the perfume, because when I was in boot camp, a girl sent me a letter, and she sent me her perfume, and like her lips, like a kiss.
Kiss,
you know?
Get the kiss on it.
When I smelled that, I was like, oh my God, this is so much better than 50 sweaty fucking dudes.
Hell yeah. So I got a question for you, Billy.
Yeah.
Have you ever been catfished through a letter?
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, plenty of times. I mean, if...
Hey, yo,
motherfuckers have been catfished.
He got a pep in his step. He's like, I'm going up top. He gets up top and his whole
And there's a damn, like, you know, I mean, manatee sitting up there. And she described herself, you know, slightly different. But truth be told, you know, in that situation.
He said manatee.
A catch is a catch, goddamn. I mean, shit. Like we'd have a saying like, shit, bitch, pay how you weigh. You know what I mean?
That's so funny. We don't discriminate on life to the
next. We don't discriminate. We participate.
that's so funny. Oh my God. So you would like just walk in and be like, fuck.
Yeah, man. You walk in there and look, you're like, damn, this bitch is. Hey, you know, but you got to play it cool. Sure, you know, you got to walk, you got to put your strut down, you know, because you still, I mean, you still got to try to get her to buy a pizza.
Yeah.
You know,
still got to get her to cover the commissary.
You know, I mean, you still, you're up there now. We ain't going to sit in awkward silence. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're here.
And then, you know, I mean, the bad part about that part of my life, you know, I was like a master manipulator. You know what I mean? Yeah. I had game. So, I mean, if she came up there like that, shit, I'm going to make her feel like no person has ever in their life made her feel. Why? Because if we was in society, I wouldn't even know who she was. You know, I'd walk right past her. But now it put me in that, you know, situation where it's just like, shit, I'm going to tell you everything you want to hear. You're going to walk out of here like you pissed yourself, seat wet as hell, you know? And I'm hopefully getting that $50 money order this week from her, you know what I mean? I mean, it's kind of grimy when you think about it as an adult male now, you know what I mean, with a daughter, with a wife, you know what I mean, with kids. Like, it's really sad that that was how I was, you know what I mean? Yeah. But like I tell everyone, I wouldn't change the knob in my life. I wouldn't alter the dial, not one bit. Reason being is everything I experienced, everything I went through, every person I met, every situation led me to this moment I'm sitting here talking to you.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
And, you know, my life is far from perfect, but there's a lot of people that would kill to have my life.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and that's what a lot of us take for granted. We are, we're people of, you know, humans are, they want instant gratification. They want it now. You know what I mean? And whatever you have, you always want more.
And on that note, once they get that quote unquote more,
they don't appreciate it.
They have it for a day, and then the next day they want more.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're constantly eating. We're so gluttonous.
Yeah.
Us humans. Shoes. So gluttonous.
Shoes. You could have a perfectly good pair of Jordans on your feet. And if you ain't got enough to put one pair on your foot for every day of the month, shit, some of us every day of the year, you ain't got enough.
To each his own. We all got our vices.
But, yeah.
But on that note, we know we talked about prison a lot. I didn't mean to cut you off, man.
Yep. He actually brought up like a really good point. He said, when has a guy ever said, like, man, she's got K-Swiss on? I'm not...
Oh yeah!
I would never fuck her.
Yeah.
But what has a girl ever said to a guy? Oh, he's wearing K-Swiss and fuck that. He's broke his shit.
Teach his own. It all depends on someone's specific taste.
What I was saying with that situation is, men, we dress and do what we do to attract women. Mm-hmm. All right, the flashier the car, better the woman, the flashier the clothes, the more money. You see guys who are dismantled, disbodied, fat, greasy, nasty, but they have stupid money.
Max is cracking up.
And you got a Playboy bunny sitting on their lap. Oh, I love you so much.
Yeah.
Now, what I meant by that situation is no dude has ever stopped, looked at a chick and was like, bro, you see that bitch handbag?
Damn, she got Prada?
Look at that bitch's, her feet. She's wearing slip-on Doc shoes. I'd never fuck her.
No man has ever said that.
No,
all the clothes come off the same way, right, Max?
Women come with built-in accessories already. But for men, you walk in a room, there's some chick that's going to look at me like, do you see his feet? His shoes? It doesn't matter. These shoes brand fucking new. I just bought them 35 minutes ago and put them on before I got out of the car.
It all depends on who values what. You
know, no, but what I'm saying is men have been rejected by just not having the best of materials. Yeah. Where it's not like that with women. You know what I mean?
Women aren't competing against men. Women are competing against women.
Yeah.
And that's how it is today. I mean, it's just a climb to the top of the biggest mountain of vanity. Who has the most stuff? Yep. Who looks the best when their life has consequences and problems just like our lives.
Yeah, facts.
So I mean, it's not always pretty when you see a picture.
You know what I mean? You see people's highlights.
Social media, you're only supposed to display what you want people to see.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If I'm having relationship problems, wife problems, I'm not announcing that on social media. I'm posting a picture of me and her in our best.
Yeah, no doubt.
You know?
No doubt.
Because whenever you jump on situations like that, that's when you draw into people that just want to see you lose.
I mean, come on, man. Perfect analogy. Look at McDonald's menu.
You never get what's on those pictures, man.
No.
You order the burgers half off. All the condiments is on one side.
Oh, and you know what? If any of you motherfuckers at McDonald's are listening, just because somebody says add mayo doesn't mean that's all the fuck they want on a burger. Dude, I'll be like, hey, take the mustard off, add mayo, pull this motherfucker off. It looks like a goddamn, what do you call them, a cupcake. A cupcake with a bun on the top of it, white frosting everywhere.
That's crazy. That's hilarious. Yeah, Billy, like, getting to know you and, you know, all these years, like, the first time we met, I mean, we just fucking clicked. I mean, like, I trusted this dude. I fell asleep, and he was tattooing my chest on my bed. Do you remember that?
Yeah. Like, he woke up. I was laying next to him and shit. No.
Truth always comes out, man. Yeah.
No, it was, like, it's crazy because I've been wanting to get more tattoos, and I was like, wait. Can I get tattoos? I'm paralyzed, you know? And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to go for it. You know what I mean? And we did a Marilyn Monroe tattoo. I saw one Vegas around and all this stuff. And nice. It's just evolved into this whole sleeve throughout the years. And, Billy always tells me when he comes to see me, it's like we're just chilling. We're hanging out, you know? It's not like a client or whatever, you know. And
look how far Max has come. Now you're tattooing him and hopping on a podcast, Billy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think what a lot of the reasons of us bonding is his situation is the same as my situation. It's just a different situation, if that makes sense.
Elaborate.
All right. One day, he was a different Max. Woke up the next day, he was a different Max. You know what I mean? A situation put him into where he's at today. Same with me. One day, I'm running the streets. I wake up. Now I'm in the penitentiary. Mm-hmm. I'm in a different situation. When you go through life-altering situations like that, when you see other people who are going through them, with me anyway, I attach that person because I see that strength. Mm-hmm. He's, man, not once has he sat there and said, feel sorry for me. Mm-hmm. He ain't never once told me, hey, bro, you should feel sorry for how I am. No, that motherfucker looked at me and he smiled. We get to talking and I start talking shit about him. He starts talking shit back. You know what I mean? I don't have pity for him.
Hell yeah.
Why? There's nothing wrong with him. He's just in a different chapter in his life. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And his spirits, his charisma, like he said, his characteristics, those are that shit right there, the situation he went through had to help him be who he is. Mm-hmm. This is the real Max.
Amen.
He's got a good fucking smile on him. You know, look at that thing. He'll light a room up with that. He can smile and change the atmosphere of a room full of people. Why? Because of his situation he's in, still happy.
No doubt.
You know what I mean? If you can't admire that, you're a fucking idiot.
No doubt.
Bro. I admire this man. He no has doubt, strength, bro.
And you got power.
Hell yeah.
Thanks, Billy. I did not expect that. I really didn't. That's awesome of you to say, because I've been ever since we had a tattoo party at my house, you know, and he would tattoo all my friends and they would put Max Strong on them and stuff. It was crazy.
Oh, you got Max Strong tatted on people?
Yeah.
Nice.
We done a few people, man. Yeah. Not enough people, just saying.
Dude, we did a girl right under her tit. I don't know.
That or her butt. One of the two.
He got Max Strong on some booty cheeks.
Yeah, I want to say it was a booty.
Nice. Let's say it was booty. Booty sounds
better. Yeah, booties does sound better. Because within time, that titty going to cover that booty.
Funny as hell.
Dude, he's a amazing person. He's been through trials and tribulations, and he's come up fucking strong. And you know what I like about him? He's a family man, dude. He's a family guy.
Hell yeah.
He does what's good for his children, not what's good for his fucking pockets.
And you got to think outside the box, man. And you know, I'll be the first to admit what helped me. Of course, I made the change myself, but what helps me maintain it is my wife. You know what I mean? My wife, she is the other half of me for real, you know? And I don't say that lightly. I don't say it. I'll be the first to, you know, to tell anybody I do whatever I want, when I want, as long as my wife lets me, mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that is true. I'm a loyal person, and everyone says, oh, I'm loyal, but they'll cheat on their girl. Mm-hmm. I'm damn near reaching out 9 years with this woman. I've never kissed another woman, never touched another woman, never nothing, nor will I. That's my better half. You know what I mean? And she completes me.
You know what's crazy about it, Eric, too? They started dating when he was in prison.
Well, not with her. Right. No, I met her.
Oh.
I met Holly, my beautiful wife, Holly, shout out. I met her when she was 16. Of course, I was older. Her sister was my friend. And I'll never forget, she walked in around. I was like, damn. Like, your fucking sister is banging. She's like, my sister's 16. I was like, damn. She looked good. I was like, you know what I mean? She got money. I mean, I was in my early 20s, so don't act like it was just, you know, last month sometime, you know?
That's funny.
But then, you know, later on in life, man, and, you know, I'll just tell this story real quick. It was later on in life, one of my buddies, he's married to my wife's sister, and it was his 40th birthday, and I got invited to his party. I was living in Las Vegas at the time, so I'd flew in for the holidays and whatnot, and I went to his party, and, you know, I'm in there, we're shooting shit, we're all drinking, and, I mean, it was almost like a movie, bro. Fucking the door opened, it seemed like all the lighting turned towards the fucking door, you know what I mean? And she stepped in, and I was just like, I looked at her, she looked at me, and she smiled. She has the biggest smile in the world, and that just, damn, I ain't bullshit. The music had stopped. I was just looking like, God damn, she's fine. You know, still after all these years.
Yeah.
And shit just ended up happening. Yeah, you know, it didn't happen that night, but
yeah, he sounds later like on. He sounds like he's writing his vows. He sounds like he's giving a speech at the wedding.
No, man, it sounds like he's living life to the max.
Damn,
that was good, man. She came in with that one. That was strong. Max strong.
Hell yeah.
Shout out to Holly.
Yeah, shout out to Holly, man. I love you, baby.
Yeah, Billy still has some work to do on Max's arm. You got to finish the job. Yeah. So this episode might be shorter than most. But how would you gist the chapters in your life from before, let's say, vacation, before you went on your 7-year vacation, while you were in it, and into today? And
well, you know, I've been in and out of prison my whole life. You know what I mean? And they were just, I like to call each stage of life a chapter. Too many people feel like their story's already written just because one chapter closed. I mean, that's just, that chapter's done. Doesn't mean your story don't go on until, you know, you hit that one day where your cable's cut off, you know what I mean? You're just done. But, I don't know. I just, when it comes to life, I look at my chapters and some of them have importance and some of them are filler. So with with the importance things, you know, you pinpoint certain areas throughout your life that had a direct impact on who you are today. And there's some that are just irrelevant. There's filler chapters. Some of those chapters, you know, absolutely have no substance, but a lot of people focus strictly on those. Mm-hmm. They don't look at the chapter before that was building up and then needed a little stretch to get to the main point of this next chapter. Mm-hmm. It was just sitting there and it's like, ah, fuck, I'm in jail. My life wasn't over. Mm-hmm. I was in a standstill chapter. Some days had substance. Some days I was sitting there watching TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But my story, it wasn't over. A lot of people with jail, they feel like they go to jail. And, you know, I ain't going to sugarcoat. No, a lot of people go to jail and they get out and they fucking lazy. And mm-hmm. they want shit handed to them. Mm-hmm. It's a pity fucking party. I'm a felon. I can't do none. True, I tattoo. That had to come with a skill trade. But if you was sitting in fucking prison for years, why have you not found yours? Mm-hmm. Why haven't you looked and seen something that is going to make you excel when you come home? A lot of people get wrapped up into prison politics and they become what's called institutionalized. Mm-hmm. I've never lived in prison. My body's been in prison for years. Mm-hmm. My mind was never in prison. My mind was always trying to figure out what I was going to do. You know what I mean? And it took a lot of hiccups. You know, sometimes shit, there was a time I was sitting there and I'm planning, I'm going to become the big time kingpin, drug dealer, gangbang, you know, the whole, yeah. everything a young man fantasizes about being in that lifestyle. And obviously that wasn't, you know, part of my story. You know, it was something I was playing make-believe in my mind. This is what I was going to do.
I can totally relate.
Yeah.
Like, I wanted to be a drug pimp.
I wanted to have all the gangs.
I was just saying, I wanted to be a mix of both. I wanted to be the gangster and the pimp. Because with the gangster, you came with that fear in the streets. And with the ladies, you just had that game, you know? And in my era, that was the big thing, you know what I mean? Yeah. Pimping. You know, like, I don't think I could officially have been a quote unquote real pimp.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I wanted to have the mouthpiece of the pimp. Yeah. You know what I mean? I wanted to be Casanova fly.
They got the smoothest lingo.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? As soon as they walk in the room, you know, their presence is felt.
Yeah.
You know? Anything you bring to their attention, man. They got the best clapbacks.
Yeah.
You know, it ain't nothing but the same super heated, baby. You know, shit like that. You know?
I mean, that's why people said that shit's pimp back then.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they want, like, they want to be that.
Yeah.
But they don't want to be that. I don't know. Like, I've never been in a situation like that.
I mean, so. I don't agree with slapping women.
Yeah, that's why I don't think I could. Yeah, I couldn't
but
do
they were just
that
the smoothest,
part.
Suave individuals.
So,
you know
really,
what
we do, what we have is pimp and player.
Yeah, you're right.
You know, mixed up. Because really, you wanted to be a player.
Yeah, take the player.
Someone
out
who
of it.
Could
yeah, yeah.
who could step in the room and from head to toe, he was finesse.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. He'd walk up to a woman and he'd blow on her and just freeze her. You know what I mean? She's like,
Damn.
That right there. You know.
Bars.
But you wanted to be a gangster too because you wanted motherfuckers to be, you wanted to be that dude. We grew up like, I grew up with Tony fucking Montana. Menace to Society. You know, his gangster rap was just now taking over.
Hell yeah.
You know, I wasn't a fan of hip hop. That wasn't my thing. I was listening to NWA. Yeah. You know what I mean? I'm listening. Nice. Now I will say that the one cat that Ice-T was probably the most gangster pimp motherfucker that came out in that time. He was smooth and he was dangerous. You know what I mean? It was like, fuck, that was definitely one of my favorite artists was Ice-T.
And today, I guess Ice-T can set the example where looks doesn't mean everything.
Exactly.
looks doesn't mean everything.
I totally forgot. She's hot as fuck.
She's not.
I thought it was Coco, right? Or whatever her name is.
No, Coco was Ice-T's wife. Or I don't know if they still are. But
I just remember she looked like
blonde hair, big old tits, fake ass.
Yeah, like everything was fake.
He built her. That was one of like his.
Built her.
I'm dead serious. He was literally like a pimp ass dude, and he built. That was one of his hoes.
He built her.
Yeah, called him Bill the Bitch. You know? And that's the thing. You know what I always thought would be funny as hell is, you know, like how you see these rich motherfuckers heartbroken over him. Like, say Kanye, okay?
Yeah.
Kanye and Kim, you know, he's heartbroken, which, you know, we're on the outside, so we're looking at him like, man, you got all this fucking money, fuck that bitch, but whatever,
you know.
In this hypothetical sense, if I was Kanye, I would just build a bitch to look identical to Kim and come shut her down.
I think he did that. I seen something.
Like, take you one that's half her age that looks identical to her. Be like,
yeah. Psh. And there's a lot of Kardashian lookalikes in this
world. Oh yeah,
has made many women try to mirror that style.
Oh yeah, so, definitely.
Yeah,
that's crazy though. Like you would just like walk into a party and like you, like the girls will know the presence of the player.
Yeah,
as soon as he walks.
No, you said blow on her and she'll freeze.
All you have to do is just.
Winter's
coming.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Get little goose pimples all over and shit. Yeah, yeah.
That is going like that. That's just like, dude, your inspiration. And like, I'm so happy I had you on the podcast. And I want to
appreciate being here.
I want to let everyone know that he's coming back.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
There's a lot more stories that we haven't told.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you just got
I'm
nice
old,
little,
so I have a lot to tell you.
Yeah. Like, just got a little appetizer. The main course is definitely coming soon.
Yeah.
I want to let you know. I want to thank Billy for being on the podcast and for, driving 5.5 hours to come and test you, me. That's
fuck yeah, bro. You're my boy,
that's
man.
That's fucking pimp of you, man. That's real pimp, you know. And freaking Eric and being a freaking, you know, my co-host and all that shit. And freaking, you know, Merry Christmas if we don't do another podcast.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas.
Happy holidays
for
sure.
Happy holidays. You know.
And you know what, man? I just want to say this. I hope 2023 is a blessing to, you know, everyone listening, man. Just remember today's troubles, you know what I mean? In the future, you probably won't even remember them, man. So don't dwell on them so hard, man.
Yeah.
There's better to come.
On that note, I mean, you were talking about getting T-boned. You know, you were talking about being at one of the lowest times.
Yeah.
And, you know, so got the car and lost it. You know, you were without a car.
I couldn't even remember what kind of car it was. You know what I mean? It took me a minute to think about it.
But now we're laughing about it. I bet that was one of the most stressful moments you were going through.
It was terrifying, man. And to see my wife, the way she looked at me, like, you know, like, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? What are we going to do? We're going to get the fuck up and fix the problem.
Hell yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
Facts.
And the fact that you didn't get, quote, institutionalized. Your body was there, but your soul was outside of the cell.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's cool because, you know, you told me, like, people go in there with a big chest. There's a dude in there with a bigger chest.
Oh, yeah. You want to be a tough guy. There is tough guys. You know, I was telling him earlier, you know, with Mayweather. Mayweather's a tough motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Other tough motherfuckers fight him. And those tough motherfuckers stepping in with him are scared.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you got guys, if you go into prison with your chest all blown up like you, man, I'm hard. There's people like, oh, you're tough. Bro, I'm tough as fuck, too. Let's do this. And now, if you're not a tough guy, they pull in your fucking card, your bluff. And the rest of your prison stay is going to be horrid.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just be yourself. You get farther in life for hell real.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah. That's what we could end this podcast episode on, fellas.
Just be yourself. Just be yourself.
Live life to the max. Be original. Be genuine.
Yeah, man.
Hell yeah,
man. That's good. All right. We're going to say peace in 1, 2, 3. Peace.
Hell yeah. Thanks for being on the show, Billy.
Yeah, for real.
Thanks for having me.